is the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire, broadcasting to you from Los Angeles, California, and talking to you personally all over the world in whatever time zone you're listening in. We are in the last days. I think that should be obvious to anybody who is even remotely awake in their consciousness and in their minds, has to realize that the time that we live in is exploding with the signs of the times that Jesus Christ talked about in the Word of God in the book of Matthew, chapter 24, 25. Now, we're going to analyze this. You're not going to hear this analysis in the mainstream media. They censor it. And I know some of you are in love with conservative mainstream media, but you need a wake-up shot. Conservative mainstream media, and I know I was deeply involved in it for a long time, okay, on the biggest channels, on the biggest show for many, many years. I'm not saying that they're not nice people, and I'm not saying that they're not telling us a great deal of the truth, but they are on a leash. You see, when you work directly for the globalist elite, because you're high up in a globalist-controlled corporation, let's not kid ourselves. You can't just say what you want to say. You'll be off the air. And they've pulled people off the air just to flex their power. And in some cases, they brought them back. In some cases, they just, sorry to use the expression, but they kissed them goodbye. All right, I want to talk about this prophetic convergence that's happening all over the world and in the United States and in the nation that you live in, whether you're listening in Britain or the European Union or wherever you're listening. There is a convergence of events. Before I get into this, and I want to get into it like immediately, but before I do, I want to remind you that the Bible talks about the fact that in the last days, knowledge is going to increase faster and faster. So, according to a biblical perspective, because we are in the last days, knowledge is growing faster and faster. Now, knowledge is not growing equally in all sectors of society. Knowledge only grows where it is welcomed or pursued. Knowledge is a system of thoughts and ideas. Knowledge will pass over any group, any individual, people that are not interested in knowledge, groups that are not interested in knowledge, will not receive knowledge. It will pass over them. But there's a lot of people, and knowledge comes to those that want it, whether they're evil, selfish people, or whether they're good people, or Christian people, or whatever. Knowledge will come to anyone who wants it and is pursuing it. I used to say this all the time on my other radio program. If I had to, and I'm not going to, but if I had to go to have a brain surgery or something, okay, and I would, first of all, find out about the background of my doctors, all right? I'm not going to walk in, depending upon my condition, I'm not going to walk in and let any clown cut my skull open and mess around with my brains. I mean, would you? No, of course you wouldn't. So I would want to know some research about the doctor's backgrounds. And I would make sure I would to get the best doctor I could get. You know, I don't want amateur hour when you're having brain surgery, all right? So point is, what I used to say all the time is, I would rather go have brain surgery from a atheist humanist doctor who's really on his or her game, who keeps up with the latest research and has a reputation for being excellent and actually healing people. I would rather have an atheist who's on their game than have a Christian who's born again, who is not keeping up with the latest information and research and does not have that solid reputation. Now, that bothers some people. But it doesn't matter whether it bothers some people. It's my brains that are going to be operated on. I want somebody who's the most knowledgeable, the most skilled, and the most trained, and has the highest success rate. And if that means passing over somebody who's born again, because that person is, you know, quote, always worshiping the Lord, but never spends any time studying and keeping up on the latest developments and innovations in brain surgery, to me, that's not spirituality. Because what does the Bible say? That whatever we do, we're supposed to do it as unto the Lord. So if we're a janitor, and this is an important principle. If we're a janitor, we do our janitorial duties as unto the Lord. By the way, that's how people get supernaturally promoted, noticed, and move from janitor to a higher position and a higher position. Now, the point is, knowledge is critical. So, the Bible tells us that in the last days, knowledge is going to increase, but it will only increase where it is pursued and welcomed. Now, the knowledge of the Word of God, the supernatural opening and understanding of God's prophetic word. God's prophetic word is literally opening up supernaturally to people all over the world. But that's to the people who are reading the word and thinking about the word of God. What I've learned about Bible prophecy, and I've been studying Bible prophecy for 40 years, okay? But each year, it's like it's not necessarily that I feel something, but it's like my brain is being like supernaturally enhanced, and my ability to understand the depths of God's word is being supernaturally enhanced. And I'm seeing things in there, I'm going to myself, like, why didn't I see that before? And other people are experiencing that. So, for example, when I read the book of Genesis, which I read to you as a listener of the Paul McGuire Report, I read to you segments from Genesis and the Bible all the time, but especially Genesis, because the Lord has so powerfully opened my eyes to understanding the Word of God at an entirely new depth. And I now read the Word of God and I see that God knows all about DNA. God knows all about genetics. God knows all about reproduction within a species. I mean, it's mind-blowing. When I hear people on a radio show calling in, I don't know whether it was on Facebook or something, my Facebook page, it wasn't one of my Facebook followers. But somehow it got sent to my Facebook page, and somebody was ministering to somebody, But this person said that they had trouble reading the Bible because the Bible was just so boring to them. So they could never read it. Now, I understand that. I understand that. I understand why the Bible could be so boring to people that they wouldn't read it. And I was tempted to make a comment. I didn't. But I wanted to say, first of all, you're going to the wrong church. Because the person teaching you Bible prophecy should be setting you on fire with a passion for Bible prophecy and the Word of God. And if they're not, guess what? You're in the wrong church. Then the other thing is that the reason people say they're bored when they read the Bible is because they're not being taught by somebody who the teacher that they're going to has not been turned on to the power, to the wonder, to the ecstasy of God's word. Look, I'm not just using those words to be flamboyant. Reading God's word is a high to me. Okay, it takes my mind and spirit, and it's like soaring, it's like flying, because the Lord opens up things to me supernaturally that are so awesome, so mind blowing, and so specific to helping me solve problems, and then being able to share it to other people. When I read the Word of God, my body, soul, and spirit is electrified with the power of God. For crying out loud, I don't understand people who say, well, the Bible's boring. I'm sympathetic. Don't get me wrong. I'm sympathetic. I understand why they would say that. But they need to have the blinders taken off of their eyes, because I'm telling you something. If you're in your right mind and don't have a cloud over your eyes, the Bible is not boring. The Bible is awesome. Okay, I'm talking about awesome, awesome, awesome. All right, so knowledge is increasing because we're in the last days, but you have to want knowledge and wisdom. And the wicked are receiving knowledge and wisdom at an exponential rate, because God is opening up knowledge not only to his people, but knowledge is open to anybody. And that's why we see such an explosion of scientific, biological, psychological, psychiatric, neurological discoveries in everything from quantum physics to computers or whatever. The discoveries are exploding. Evil discoveries and good discoveries. But when you have a church where everybody's closed off, they have no desire for knowledge, no desire for wisdom, they're going to get passed over by the Lord, and they're going to stagnate mentally and shrivel up mentally. And that's not what God wants for you. So, never before in my life, and I've been walking with the Lord now for around 40 years, okay? Raised in an atheist household. Never before in my life have I been reading the Bible. I mean, I was always turned on by the Bible. But like now, it's a mind-blowing experience. The amount of revelation and understanding and knowledge that God will give to you is awesome. And let me give you a little helpful hint. Read the Bible. Don't get hung up over the fact that you don't understand every word, every sentence. Just read it. And maybe you won't get it all. The first reading. Read it. The Lord will eventually open it up to you through his Holy Spirit. So we see this explosion of knowledge, and it's a key factor in the last days. So now, I'm going to throw out the term convergence to you. I believe we're experiencing a supernatural convergence on planet Earth, in every nation on planet Earth right now. And by convergence, I mean like a coming together. Things are converging. Separate, once independent things are converging. They're coming together all over the Earth in unprecedented fashion. So, for example, where we are right now in history, like in this exact time zone, we're seeing a whole bunch of unprecedented events converging. One very recent event that we're still dealing with on planet Earth is the COVID epidemic. And the COVID epidemic has vastly altered our societies, our families, are going to church or not going to church, and many other things. The COVID virus has brought about things that we've never seen before on a planetary level, such as social isolation. Quarantine, mask wearing, and all the other things that go with it. And at the same time, we're seeing COVID happening all over the world. There are other factors happening all over the world. So, for example, we have COVID, and then we have the great global reset, or at least that's what the globalist financial institutions call it, the global reset. So when they were talking about that, they were hinting about that several years ago. I wrote about it in my book, A Prophecy of the Future of America. I wrote about how people like Christine Lagarde, who at that time the director of the International Monetary Fund, was dropping hints all over the place about a global reset. Rockefeller, who owned one of the wealthiest men in the world, who owns the very prestigious financial magazine called The Economist, did an occult symbol-themed cover, which talked about a great global reset. And he was hinting of something to come. That has now come upon us. And the great global reset involves the throwing away or the ending of paper currency, paper dollars, and the transition on a global level to electronic currency. This is huge. And this electronic currency, most likely in its final form, it may go through a couple of stages. So it may move from paper to, you know, like a credit card type thing. Eventually, or a Bitcoin type thing, but eventually it is going to, for security reasons, etc., it's going to transform into some kind of microchip, nano chip, DNA chip, some kind of microscopic molecular chip embedded in the human body. And so that will be its final form. It will be a microscopic electronic currency with memory that can transmit via Wi-Fi and 5G or 6G, and it can receive information and it can store information via Wi-Fi or 5G or 6G. So that will probably be the final form of this electronic currency. Now, the world and the knowledge and technology and science is moving at a lightning speed. And unless Christians and other people make some effort to keep up, I mean, you don't have to study to be a rocket scientist, but you got to make some effort to keep up with these major global transformations, you're going to be lost in the dust. I'm telling you this right now. Knowledge is power. If you are bankrupt of knowledge, you're going to go down, and you're going to go down hard, and you're going to hurt your family, and you're going to hurt yourself. And I'm here out of love for you, real love, not fake love, not like, oh, everything's wonderful, just the Lord. You know, that's empty and hollow. It's not that we shouldn't trust the Lord. We should. God is going to take care of us, but God is supposed to be trusted. God takes care of us to the degree we walk in the ways of his word. So, you know, knowledge comes, according to the word of God, to those that pursue knowledge and wisdom and guidance, not by people who are just sitting there. So, we have those changes happening. We have a geopolitical realignment happening right now as I'm talking and you're listening to me. Warning signals, for example, from communist China. I mean, really, really serious warning signals from communist China, which are basically threats saying, stay out of our business. Don't mess with us, or we are going to attack you. That's what those warning signals say. Now, our experts, our intelligence agencies, our politicians have to figure out whether or not those are just bluffs. Personally, I don't think they're bluffs, because China has the monetary power now and the military power to carry out on the threats that they've made. And remember, we know that in the book of Revelation, it talks about this massive army that is going to rise up out of Asia during Armageddon. And China has, numerically, I think, the largest army in the world, because their population is so massive. So China has been sending special submarines. China has been coordinating some activities with Iran in terms of helping Iran develop nuclear weapons. And of course, China can carry out cyber warfare, and we have been attacked in the last week via cyber warfare in a very serious way. China can mess with our entire power grid. And, you know, a lot of people don't realize, but one of the most vulnerable areas that we have in the U.S. and that all nations have is the vulnerability of an EMP, an electromagnetic pulse weapon attack. So you could have a small fishing boat, okay, off the coastal waters of the United States, off the coastal waters of the Pacific Ocean, or the Atlantic Ocean bordering the U.S., and they could fire a small missile off of a small boat, and this would be an EMP, an electromagnetic pulse pulse weapon missile, because it's designed to detonate in the atmosphere in the sky. That's where its maximum impact will happen. The maximum impact of an EMP weapon is not if it explodes on the ground or it hits a building or whatever. That's not how it achieves its maximum in terms of destruction. It's when it detonates in the upper atmosphere above the United States of America. So you fire a small EMP missile from a boat, you know, and it detonates, you know, somewhere over the middle of the United States in the atmosphere. And that detonation will release what's called an electromagnetic pulse, okay? And that electromagnetic pulse, it's like a burst. It's like a intense shock wave of electromagnetic energy, and it ends up short circuiting the entire power grid that is beneath where the EMP missile explodes. So you could fire an EMP missile like over the East Coast or the middle of the United States or the West Coast or whatever, and if you had it explode over a major population area, I'm not talking about one state, I'm talking about, you know, affecting half the United States or a quarter of the United States or whatever, you could completely short circuit every computer, every electrical grid there is. And you have no idea the damage that would do. I explained that, by the way. I described that scenario in great detail in my book, The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World. I write about it from the perspective of somebody who experienced firsthand something very similar to an EMP attack. And I write the whole story in my book, The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World. Because in the I think it was 1976, I have the exact date in the book, I was producing and hosting contemporary Christian music concerts at the Lambs Club on Broadway and Times Square. And that was the night Keith Green, many of you know, he was a famous, he was one of the best contemporary Christian music artists I'd ever met. And I personally promoted and flew in the biggest artists in contemporary Christian music to perform at the Lambs Club. And I also produced those concerts, and I was the host, and I was the minister. And, you know, thousands of people came to the Lord. And we were instrumental in creating East Coast Jesus movement out of the Lambs Club. So Keith Green was scheduled to play that night. Oh, what night? I haven't told you yet. Sorry. Okay. So, okay, I'm trying to make this succinct. Okay. So Keith Green is scheduled to perform on a particular evening that night. Let's just say it that way. So he pulls up and parks his motorhome. He's got a monstrous motorhome, which he parks in front of the Lambs Club. He's arriving early to get set up to perform in concert. So and he was with his wife at that time, and he was just starting to take off when I booked him for a concert. And not everybody knew who he was, but once they heard his music, they were blown away. I heard his music before I invited him to come perform, and I was blown away. He was every bit as good as the Beatles. I mean, he was incredible. So he was very frustrated because when he arrived, I had no record because I was responsible for producing, you know, usually at least one concert a week. And it was a big production. And so I had a very organized system. And we had a lot of people who volunteered or were on staff and stuff. And, you know, everything was scheduled because he didn't want to have a mix-up. So anyway, he arrives, but I said to him, Keith, you know, I obviously apologize, but I said, I have no record of you being booked for this evening. And he said, well, my agent booked it. Well, I'm not here to even get into whose fault it was. The point is, there was a mix-up, okay? So he could not perform because you know, wasn't scheduled. There was no promotion out. Nobody would have come anyway because we didn't have him booked. He wasn't officially scheduled. So he was upset, and I don't blame him. So I said to him, look, I can book you in the near future and we can have, you know, a huge attendance. I said, and I realize this is awkward or whatever I said, but if you can stay two more days, I can book you, or 3 days or whatever. I said, I can book you for Sunday. Sunday wouldn't be the, you know, the best day, and it's a short amount of time to promote. But I said to Keith, I can have you Sunday. There still will be a big amount of people there. And he was gracious enough to accept that. And on that Sunday, I'm telling you, this guy was anointed, and he was the Beatles all rolled into one. He was incredible. And I'm very picky, okay? And I didn't book people. I booked some that I wasn't thrilled with. But anyway, he was very gifted and very talented and very anointed. And love the Lord. So anyway, going back to the day he pulled up a couple of days earlier, I said, look, I'm sorry, I'm just going to have to do it. And then I made arrangements to have him come back a couple of days later on Sunday, and we have him perform, okay? So Keith gives me his latest album back then on vinyl. And I go up to my office, and we hung out and talked and stuff like that. But after he left, I was playing his album while I had work I had to do. And while I'm playing his album, it's like the record player just started moving slowly, you know, and everything was like slurred on the record. And then the lights began to flicker, and I said, you know, we're right there in Broadway and Times Square. And I said, this is weird. So I go outside to see what's happening, and then I just walk down to, like, I have to walk only half a block, and I'm right, you know, smack where all the glowing billboards are, and, you know, and I'm right smack in the middle of Times Square, in the very, very center. Just a short walk out of the building. And while I'm there and I'm looking at everything, I all of a sudden the lights start to crash like panels of Legos, you know, sections, massive sections of colored neon lights or whatever are crashing. And it's like looking at something out of a science fiction movie. Lights are crashing all over the Times Square. And then finally, this goes on for like a minute or two, and then finally, bam, all the lights everywhere go out, completely out. Tourists are screaming in panic. People are starting to get mugged. It's totally crazy. Well, what that was, a generator blew out somewhere, one of the main generators, and it crashed the lights, not only in Times Square, but all of Manhattan, affecting, it knocked out all the lights in different boroughs. And it was known that night that Keith came was known as the Great New York City Blackout. So, in a weird way, God intervened, because what would have happened is all these people would have showed up to hear him in concert, but a lot of the people who show up would have taken trains in and would have traveled, you know, a considerable distance to get to the heart of the Broadway Theater District in Times Square. And if the lights had crashed while they were trying to get in, they would have been stuck in subway trains. The traffic would be paralyzed. Their lives would be in jeopardy, because it was like 5-10 minutes after the lights were out, I heard people getting mugged and screaming and all kinds of weird stuff. It could be a very dangerous place with the lights out. And so the fact that Keith, his schedule was mixed up, was a blessing in disguise, because it would have been a bad thing to have had all those people, you know, stuck in Times Square, many of them coming in from out of town, and it would have been dangerous for them. And plus, it would have been next to impossible for them to actually, would have got stuck somewhere. They wouldn't have been able to come home. It would have been a nightmare. So God intervened, and by God's grace, we had to cancel Keith from performing that night and reschedule. So the point is that was a simulation, a mild simulation of what an EMP attack would be like, an electromagnetic pulse weapon would be like, because it crashed the electronic grid of Manhattan, Times Square, the boroughs. And it put, you know, millions and millions and millions of people totally in the dark. Okay, so everything is shut down. Now, back then, they didn't have cell phones, but everything was shut down. By the way, in an EMP attack, your cell phones go out. So and also, it was a short amount of time where shop windows were being smashed, shops were being robbed. Tourists were being attacked and mugged for their money. The police were overwhelmed. Within 30 minutes, there was not enough police protection. Total anarchy, because you know, you've got criminals everywhere, and the police can't come close to maintaining law and order. So it was like a simulation of an EMP attack, and I tell the rest of the story in my book, The Greatest Battle. Now, if we were to have today, if we had an EMP attack today, it would be far worse than anything that happened in 1976, because now all cars have computers in them. So. Almost every vehicle on the road, if an EMP pulse goes off, the computer is short-circuited in cars. You couldn't start your car. You couldn't hear your radio. all cell phone transmissions are short-circuited. Along, you know, everything in our society today is internet, computer, electronic. It all would short-circuit. Pumps, transportation, moving food in, everything. It would be like sending. I describe it, you know, in a lot more. Just how dangerous it is. People's houses would be broken into because alarm systems would be nothing. There would be home invasions. You know, all these housewives that are don't really have any idea about how bad things could get when there's no power. And gangs, that's when they can thrive because they're heavily armed and they smash into houses and I don't need to tell you the rest. And so that we're vulnerable to that. And now we're in a situation where I think our enemies believe that we have a weak and indecisive administration, and they're pressing and testing it hard. And that's not good for us because weak leadership in America will be taken advantage of because our enemies know they're not going to do anything. So like it invites our enemies to attack us, but also weak leadership does a strange thing in another way. It many times will overreact and it will create a World War III, or it will create a war when it could have been avoided because it's trying to compensate for the fact that it knows that our enemies perceive us as weak, and so it goes overboard in trying to demonstrate strength and ends up causing a World War III type of scenario. So this is what's happening on the global level right now. It's happening with Israel. It's happening with China. It's happening with other nations in Asia. It's happening with Iran. And there's all these flashpoints. So then we have the potential of the currency going electronic, implants, microchip implants. We have the coronavirus, which could come back in variant phases. We have an economic crisis going on right now in the United States and around the world because, and you have to think on a deeper level, that the people who have been hit the hardest by the economic crisis right now are the hardworking middle class and the hardworking working class. And anybody who is a middle class, hardworking, they own a restaurant, they have their owners of small businesses are being hit very hard. No relief going to them. So middle class is being hit the hardest. People who own their own businesses, and I'm talking about anything from waitresses to people who might have 20 employees or 3 employees or whatever, they're being hit the hardest and with no relief. And so we have economic problems. Economic crisis, respective military conflict on the horizon. And so we have a lot of things happening that have the potential of getting very, very bad very, very quickly. So what does this mean? It means we're in a highly volatile global environment. It is not It is not a safe environment for people in the U.S. or out of the U.S. because of the stressors going on a global level. All right, we're going to get into this more in just a second. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. Visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. And we'll be back in just a moment. You are listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. As I've talked to you many times over decades of research and studying the Bible, seeking the Lord, crying out to the Lord for wisdom. You know, I remember when I was a brand new Christian, barely saved, one of the books that people told me that I needed to read in order to get wisdom, I'm a brand new Christian, they told me to read the book of Proverbs. And they told me to read James. And in James, it talks about, you know, the need to cry out to God, to pray to God for wisdom, for guidance, but to make sure you do it in faith. In other words, you're believing God that when you pray to him for wisdom and guidance, that he will give it to you, then he will. But if you pray to God and ask him for wisdom and guidance, and your heart is filled with unbelief, you know, you're like an unstable man who's like flip-flopping in his faith or unbelief. He keeps going back and forth, and he will not receive the wisdom or guidance he desires or she desires. Because you got to ask in faith. And then in Proverbs, a constant exhortation from the Lord for your need and my need to pursue wisdom and guidance and knowledge and treat it like it's precious gold and go after it. And then the rewards of receiving this knowledge, wisdom, and guidance are very powerful, according to the Lord. And then you go into the book of Genesis, and there are so many passages about the Lord's willingness to bless us and every area of our lives by giving us wisdom and guidance and knowledge that comes from him supernaturally. There's the passage about that it is God that gives the power to get wealth. Now think about that for a moment. Most people, unless you're born very wealthy or whatever, that you go through life and you have to deal with the struggles of money, paying bills, the stresses of finances, etc., the concerns. But think about the fact that if you spent less time worrying or meditating on fantasies that you're creating in your own mind, you're generating fantasies in your own mind based on your fears of the worst that could happen regarding, you know, things like your health, money, and stuff like that. So what you're doing is you're meditating in your mind over and over again about all the bad things that could happen to you, and you're worrying and playing out like self-directed movies. You're worrying about money, health, jobs, you know, stuff like that. Now, what if you stop doing that? Or began stop doing it, and you begin by praying to the Lord and standing and claiming his word. For example, it's the Lord that gives wealth. It's the Lord that gives us the power to get wealth. So you can try to get wealth by just working your tail off. But if you go to the Lord and ask him to give you the power to create wealth, in other words, if God gives you, because you ask him, the power to create wealth, God is giving you ideas, concepts, truths, knowledge, and wisdom on how you can create wealth, and which means generate an abundant income. Okay, I'm not talking about the health and wealth gospel and believing God for jumbo jets and Rolls Royces and stuff. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you asking God to help you supernaturally, and that God wants to. God actually wants to, when you think about what he says in his word, God wants to give you the power to create wealth. Now, if you faithfully pray that way, God will supernaturally bless you. There will be a substantial improvement in your life. It doesn't mean there will not be stresses and struggles and spiritual battles, etc. But you'll discover that your rate or percentage of victories goes way up. You know, in my book, A Prophecy of the Future of America, Volume 2, there's Volume 1 and Volume 2. You should, those are in a book bundle. You need to get them. I don't want to go into the whole thing right now, but in Volume 2 of A Prophecy of the Future of America, I talk in detail about the life of the prophet Daniel and the life of Joseph. Daniel is raised up by God supernaturally to interpret the dream of the king of Babylon. And God promotes him like crazy. Promotes him like crazy. And then God raises up Joseph to be the right-hand man, like the co-pharaoh. And Joseph supernaturally interprets the economic forecasting dream of Pharaoh. And just God uses Joseph to supernaturally prosper Pharaoh, Egypt, and the children of Israel. It's amazing. And then Solomon. Now, God didn't tell us all this stuff to give us boring history lessons. These are the secrets. You know, you've heard of the best-selling books, The Secret, and movies, The Secret. And you've got all these Christians flocking to read, watch The Secret, and the book or whatever has sold like millions of copies. But the problem with The Secret is it's got Christian ideas, which are true, mixed with the poison of New Age ideas, which are completely not true. Now, the truth is in the Word of God. So the real secret that's true, not based on falsehood, is the truth of the Bible. So what's the secret to generating wealth? What's the secret to miraculous answers to prayer? Well, you read the story of Solomon, and the reason Solomon raises up, that God raises up Solomon to be King Solomon, besides the fact that he's the son of David, is that when God asked Solomon, you know, pray to me, Solomon. Whatever you ask me in prayer, I'll give you. And Solomon's praise to God. God, give me the wisdom to lead your people rightly. And that taps right into one of God's primary secret principles, which is God responds to Solomon, because you asked me for wisdom so that you could lead my people rightly, I will make you the wealthiest man that ever lived, and the most famous man, and the most powerful man, and the most wisest man who ever lived on planet Earth. That's huge. So why? Why did God do that for Solomon? Well, God tells him, because he said when he made that same offer to many other men, the other men asked for riches and gold and wisdom so that they could spend it on themselves, enrich themselves, whereas Solomon asked for wisdom so he could lead God's people rightly. The secret of the Word of God regarding wealth and having wisdom is that the intention of Solomon's heart was to be a servant, to serve, to help, to be the Lord's servant, to help the Lord's people. His heart was in the right place, and that was the divine biblical secret that caused Solomon to prosper and to be the richest ruler who ever lived and the wisest ruler to ever live. And we can take advantage of, to whatever degree, similar biblical principles, and it will transform our lives. Okay, so knowledge is increasing. And one of the things that we understand from reading the Word of God is that from Genesis to Revelation, when God's people are sinning, they're punished. When God's people are repenting and returning to the Lord, they're blessed. If there's any message that I would like you to get from the Paul McGuire Report, wherever you're listening to this program from, is first to repent to God of your sins and invite Jesus Christ into your life and to become born again, because that's the only way you will enter the kingdom of heaven. So that's the first truth I'd like you to make sure that you have in your heart. The second truth is that no matter what problem, challenge, and adversity, when you are repenting to God, and I'm talking about real repentance, not playing church repentance, when you're repenting to God and you're seeking God and you're humbling yourself before the Lord, that is what you need to do to release the power, the blessing, the resources, the angelic armies, and the miraculous miracles of God to show up in your life. You've got to be seeking God's face. You've got to be repenting of your sins, and you have to cry out to God. You're not doing that. You're whether you know it or not, you're in rebellion from God, and you're going to be punished and disciplined. So that's the primary truth I want you to carry with you in your hearts. So as we look at the world, we are now entering a phase of unprecedented global conflict, a global convergence of problems at such a high level that mankind has never faced all of these problems or any of these problems collectively together. And if we read the Bible, especially Bible prophecy, we see that all the problems that we're dealing with on a global level are literally bringing us to what is called a human extinction level event. That's like a scientific term for the end of mankind as we know it. And that's not just a figure of speech, because right now, as you and I are talking, and the Lord revealed this to me supernaturally when I was ministering on one of our video programs on the Paul McGuire Report, and when I was ministering, and I have that clip, and I'll look for it, and I'll play it for you. I was at the end of the segments of video ministry that I do, and I was standing in the hills of Malibu, right near the ocean. And as I was speaking, I could sense that a word from the Lord was coming through me. And I could sense that the Lord was giving me a word of knowledge. And it was like, as I was talking, I was talking and simultaneously I was receiving supernatural insight into something that was happening in many places across planet Earth that was an abomination to God. So I continued to minister. I didn't announce to anybody that, you know, quote, the Lord was showing me this or the Lord was showing me that. I didn't say anything like that. I just wove it in with a certain amount of subtlety in my message. But what was happening is that it was almost like I feel it in my stomach area, you know, the seat neurologically of spirit. And as I was talking and the Pacific Ocean was behind me, it was like I had this knowing, this deep knowing that's deeper than knowing, that what I was saying with my words was true. And it was happening right then, at that moment, as I was speaking. And I was talking about the fact that there are secret laboratories all over this world that are conducting experiments that involve the interbreeding of human DNA with non-human DNA. And I just mentioned it and talked about it briefly, but as I was saying those words, this is exactly what it was like. It's very hard to describe because it's an experience that we don't normally have. But it was like my spirit man was transported into multiple locations. I couldn't see the interior of the locations visually, but I had a knowing beyond knowing that they were there, and my spirit man was there. And at these locations, these horrific experiments were being conducted genetically, where there was interbreeding going on between human DNA and non-human DNA, which is evil and an abomination to God. And then I ended the message. But what surprised me is that the earlier part of my message on video was not really on that topic. It just seemed to emerge supernaturally at the end of the taping session. And the only reason we ended the taping session at that time is that there was this rainy mist coming down. And that's when the Lord gave me this word of knowledge and this supernatural revelation of what was happening. Now, why am I saying this? I'm saying this is because knowledge is increasing. So in every area, we are as a planet, as people, mankind is accelerating in discoveries scientifically and technology and biologically and in every area. And most people don't comprehend the the level of power, the level of consciousness, and the level of demonic rulership that exists and is operating in this world. Now, the book of Revelation and the Bible tells us, and the New Testament tells us, that this level of demonic rulership is real and is operational. So, for example, the Apostle Paul says, "For our fight is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, the powers, the dark unseen forces of wickedness in heavenly places." So we are fighting, as the body of Christ, a hierarchy of fallen angels with different rankings, like the principalities and powers and the territorial spirits, etc. And we are, in the, as the body of Christ, Jesus Christ told us as his disciples that he wants us to win people to Jesus Christ in the last day's soul harvest. Jesus Christ told us to make disciples of all nations, you know, teach and communicate a biblical worldview. And Jesus Christ told us to occupy until he comes, not retreat, but to occupy spiritually until he comes. That means restrain evil, keep evil and the demonic powers pressed back by using our supernatural authority to rule and reign in the name of Jesus Christ. Because as the members of the supernatural body of Christ, we have been given by God the supernatural power to have authority over the demons, the devils, and those that have allied themselves with demonic powers. You know, people sell their souls in order to have power in the earth. So, as a consequence, we are, as the human race, pressing all these boundaries. What was the trigger event that caused the great flood of Noah? It wasn't merely that mankind was wicked. I believe the trigger event was the fact that when the fallen angels came down and looked upon human females with lust, and then decided to mate with human females, and the human females gave birth to these hybrid beings that consisted of a mixture of fallen angel DNA and human DNA, which produced the Rephaim and the Nephilim, which were these hybrid creatures that were part human and part fallen angel. That was a horrific abomination to God, because what that did is it polluted the DNA of mankind. And only mankind is offered salvation from God. No other species, no other entity, no other creature in the universe, including the angels, are offered the gift of salvation and eternal life. Only human beings. Now, what categorizes a human being? A human being is that creature that genetically has the genetic code that identifies them as being a human being. When you have a genetic code that's a crossbreeding between fallen angel DNA and human DNA, that offspring is no longer a human being, and therefore they cannot be saved. That's why Satan is so interested in sending fallen angels into the earth to mate with human females, because then their offspring cannot ever enter heaven. So anything we do in our futuristic world, anything we do that impacts human being DNA and actually changes human being DNA, into a different kind of DNA that is non-human. So, you see, we have a genetic code, the double helix, that lives inside the cells of every human being who's a human being. Whatever we do that would cause that DNA coding, which identifies us as human beings, to be changed and makes us genetically non-human, that cancels out any possibility of that no longer human being from being saved. Why? Because it's no longer a human being. When the genetic code has been changed, it has become something else. So in the world that we live in, with the technology and the science and our genetic experimentation that goes back to the Nazis and Adolf Hitler, you know, he wanted to create a master race genetically, starting in the 1920s. I write all about that in my book, A Prophecy of the Future of America, Volume 1. And that's back in stock, by the way. That sold out big time, but we got a big shipment of them that came in, and you can order it immediately if you want it at paulmaguire.us. Okay, so where does this take us? You've got to understand the depths of knowledge and truth that God wants you to understand. When you go back to ancient Babylon, that was the world's first new world order, the first one world government, one world religion, one world economic system. When you go back to ancient Egypt, that was a clone, so to speak, of ancient Babylon. Now, one of the secrets of Mystery Babylon, which is the name of the satanic occultic religion that is still in the world today and was birthed in ancient Babylon at the time of the Tower of Babel, when you understand what Mystery Babylon is all about, it gives you the understanding that you need as a Christian in the last days. So, one of the tenets of Mystery Babylon is you have the development of what are called God kings. And these are kings and queens that the people of these ancient cultures believe are gods. Now, this is controversial, and I'm not saying it as a truth. I'm saying it as this is what some people believe. I'm not saying that I believe conclusively that this is indeed the case, but I think there's at least enough evidence to question the viability of it. The great sin that caused God to come down and judge ancient Babylon was the fact that the people in their hearts were following Lucifer. And the head of ancient Babylon was Nimrod. Now, there are some people who think that Nimrod's DNA was really a hybrid DNA of a man and the breeding of a fallen angel. And so the Nimrod would not have been considered really just a human being. He would have been a Rephaim or Nephilim. And they had supernatural knowledge and supernatural powers to varying degrees. And so the people were worshiping him, and they were worshiping Lucifer. The people of ancient Egypt worshiped the Pharaoh and his family as God kings. Again, this worship of the Pharaohs as God kings. Now, This is the part that's controversial, and I'm simply raising it as a question. I'm not claiming it to be something that I believe. It's something I'm still investigating. But I talk about this in my book, Conquering the Matrix. The Illuminati bloodline families is this concept that going back to when the fallen angels were mating with human females and they produced the hybrid race of the Nephilim or the Rephaim, they produced this genetic mixture. This also happened on Mount Hermon when 200 fallen angels descended upon Mount Hermon and mated with human females. Now, the Illuminati bloodline family idea is that those females that gave birth to fallen angel babies created a special genetic bloodline of non-human beings. And allegedly, the Illuminati claim that they're the genetic descendants of these non-human beings. Thus, they call it the Illuminati bloodline families. And many of these families only have mated within their own family DNA, which, by the way, violates God's Levitical laws. And modern science warns us that when you have interbreeding in a family line, you know, people marrying their cousins and stuff like that, it opens the door genetically to people receiving very, very strange and very, very rare diseases. It's almost like a curse. So the idea of the Illuminati bloodline families is that they look for people in their own genetic line. They marry, or they seek to marry, or arrange marriages between one family member or another. So actually, they're genetically related, but they're marrying within their families, which is forbidden in the book of Leviticus. Now, the other thing is, they believe that their DNA goes back to the fallen angels, and they celebrate that because they are secretly, many of them are worshipers of Satan. They're Satanists. And thus they are part of this Illuminati bloodline that goes back to the interbreeding with the fallen angels. Now, in the last days, these people are the rulers of the earth, talked about in the book of Revelation, that implement the mystery Babylon religion all over planet Earth. And they utilize technology and sorcery and science to manipulate the genetics of mankind, the DNA of mankind, because they want to control and dominate mankind. They want to be the rulers over mankind. And one of the ways they can facilitate that is through DNA. So you and I can't be oblivious to any new technology or new biological discovery in any realm of science. If we're playing around with something that potentially can transform our DNA on the genetic level, we need to be very careful. We need to be very careful because we're the temple of the Holy Spirit. Our biological being is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, God warns about the sin of sexual relations outside of marriage, because the two become one. There's some kind of biological, spiritual energy communion and merger and oneness that occurs, according to the Bible, when people engage in sexual activity. The two become one. And therefore, that's a very holy thing to God, because you don't want to become one with, like, just anybody. So God gives that prohibition and law regarding sexual purity. Now, that purity also extends to what we take into our bodies, or what we open the portals of our body to. And so any technology that alters our DNA, our genetic code, any science, any biology, anything that we introduce or allow in our body, soul, and spirits that has the end effect of transforming our DNA and our genetics has the very real potential of transforming us from being human beings to a non-human being. Because remember, the determination of whether or not we're human beings versus some kind of non-human being is the code. The code is what identifies us as either human or not human. And then finally, we need to remember that God has made available salvation and eternal life only. That's only available to human beings. So we need to be careful about participating in anything if it transforms us into a non-human being. And that's just something to think about, because this is going to be coming up more and more frequently as we continue to move into the future at a very, very accelerated rate. I encourage you to get a book bundle of my books, A Prophecy of the Future of America, Volume 1 and 2, The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World, Conquering the Matrix. Go to paulmaguire.us, spread this message far and wide, and remember that knowledge is power. You need to be aware of what is happening on a much more sophisticated level than you have in the past, because things are changing very, very quickly, and God wants his people to have knowledge. I want to thank you for helping us get this message out. I want to thank you for choosing to be a prayer warrior for me, my family, and this ministry. Thank you for your prayers. They're needed. Thank you for spreading the messages far and wide. They're needed, because we're fighting electronic censorship. Thank you for spreading those messages on your own initiative. And finally, any war, including a spiritual war, requires finances and resources. We intend to expand more aggressively and to reach people in a far more effective, and to reach far more people and win their hearts and minds and bring them into the kingdom of God for Jesus Christ. But in order to do that, I need your help, and I want to thank each and every one of you that have responded to the voice of the Holy Spirit, and when God told you to give, and when God told you how much to give, you just radically obeyed him. You put your life and your finances on the altar, and you did what God told you to do. I want to thank you for that, and for all of you who are teaming up with us. Because this can't be done by me. It's a partnership. It's in a partnership sealed in the invisible realm. And we are united by the power of the Holy Spirit. God bless you. This is Paul McGuire. Visit paulmaguire.us. That's paulmaguire.us.